I'm on the pursuit of happiness, and I know everything that shine ain't always going to be gold. Wise words by the prophet himself, Kid Cudi. But when does our pursuit of happiness turn into toxic positivity? How can we avoid this? Here to talk to me on the perils of toxic positivity is Professor Brock Bastian, who conducted a study on this very issue. Hi, Professor, how are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Thank you so much for joining me. So let's jump right into it. Tell us about your study's findings, and could you tell us what in fact makes positivity toxic?
Sure, yeah. So we're interested in an apparent sort of difference in the literature where it's certainly been found that there are some measures of valuing happiness where people put a certain amount of pressure on themselves to feel happy in each moment, or feel that it's important to maintain a level of happiness in each moment of each day. And this is compared to perhaps other approaches which are about pursuing or prioritizing, you know, positive and happy experiences, but perhaps not seeing them as important to be maintained all the time. And within that, and the thing that we observed was that it's really that in that first case, when people put a lot of pressure on them, themselves to be feeling happy all the time, they also respond poorly to their negative emotional experiences. Mm. So it's not so much the, you know, whether or not we value happiness, whether or not we want to be happy that matters for toxic positivity. It's how that then feeds into the way we respond to our negative emotional experiences. And of course, we all have those and they're inevitable. But when we respond poorly to those, when we don't accept them, when we see them as getting in the way of, of us feeling happy and maintaining that positivity in life, that's when we start to see it become toxic, and it tends to actually drive the opposite sort of effect. People aren't more happy, and in fact are probably more likely to feel a little bit depressed and anxious in life.
Of course, and that kind of feeds into my next question for you, that I have for you. A friend of mine hates her birthday because she's always disappointed, and I find that across the board a lot of the time for a lot of people. It never quite lives up to the hype and, the magnitude, yep, to what we're supposed to expect for our birthday. However, what you had just said in your study, you found that placing these expectations and pressure to be happy in certain contexts can have the opposite effect. Could you go into that a little bit more deeply? And what potentially would be making that toxic? Would that be considering that people would be toxic towards themselves because they're putting that pressure on themselves to be happy? Or would that be an outward response to that?
Well, it's all about where we set our expectations, and certainly one of the things we do know from the literature is that often it's the times when people most, people who value happiness a lot, it's often the times they most expect to feel happy that they're least likely to feel happy. And again, that's because they set up this expectation. And one of the ways we can understand that is actually by looking at the way that we pursue goals as humans. So when we pursue a goal, we assess or evaluate ourselves and how we're going in terms of that goal pursuit. And if that's something concrete like buying a car and we're saving money, we might say, well, today I haven't got as much as I'd like, but I'm going to work harder and I'm going to get there and eventually I'll buy that car. But when it comes to happiness, if we're assessing ourselves as to whether we're as happy as we think we should be, and often we're not, and in those moments we're not, that sense of disappointment, that sense that we're failing to meet that expected standard of happiness or that goal we've got for ourselves in that emotional space, it leads to feelings of disappointment. Of course, disappointment makes us less happy, not more. So that whole assessment process can actually drive us further away from that happiness goal when we set it up in that way, when we set it as being an expectation and what we expect to feel. So again, when you have a birthday and you expect to feel very, very happy, you're evaluating, am I as happy as I think I wanted to be or as I expected to be? And of course, often we're not. And that tends to actually drive us further away from that happiness level that we were trying to achieve than getting us closer to it.
Yeah. So it's over-assessing in the moment and taking away.
Yeah, very much so. Of course, yeah, and it has an ironic effect.
Yeah. I find that every year. I always, it's such a struggle, but I completely, hearing it from that perspective, I totally understand. So one interesting part of your study that I found really, really intriguing was that you touched on people's attitudes towards negative emotions. What did you find?
Yeah, so a lot of our work has been really looking at whether people feel comfortable with their negative emotions in life, and moreover, whether they feel that other people around them are accepting of those, or whether they feel that those sorts of emotions are an accepted and normal part of the society they live in. And we've certainly found in other research that the more that people feel this social pressure to maintain happiness, to avoid these negative experiences in life or not to express or feel them, they actually become more depressed and anxious because of that pressure, that social pressure they perceive. So one of the things we were interested in is, as I said before here, was, you know, which of the different approaches to finding happiness actually leads people to feel personally that they have a low level of acceptance of those negative emotions. We know that accepting and sitting with, being comfortable with our negative emotions is actually a very important way of dealing with them. We can't get rid of them. We can't escape from them. They are there sometimes, and that's just part of life. Mm-hmm. And when we try to get away from them, or when we see them as problematic, when we see them as things we need to escape from or get rid of in order to be able to be successful and, you know, to live the right kind of life, that tends to be a bad approach to it. And as I said before, it sets up those expectations and we tend to fall short of them, and then we end up falling further short because of our assessment process. So it's really about that idea of just being able to sit with, be comfortable, even be curious about some of our negative experiences, rather than feel we've got to escape from them, get rid of them, that they're a sign that there's something wrong with us. You know, certainly in my experience talking to people during the pandemic, you know, people have said to me, well, what's wrong with me? I'm feeling low and I don't feel like I'm coping like I normally do. What's wrong with me? And well, the simple answer is nothing. Nothing's wrong with you. You're living in a pandemic. That's the problem. It's not inside you. The problem is outside. And you're expected to feel this way during a pandemic when you're shut in your own home for, you know, weeks and months. We often assess ourselves and think there's a problem with us if we feel that way. But often it's a very normal and important part of the way we experience life.
Of course. And it's just a reactionary thing, of course. Like, you know, we're social animals, social creatures. Of course, what is happening on the outside and environmentally is going to be affecting us in our day-to-day. And just because it's not on our radar and what's happening in our nucleus of, you know, day-to-day life, it potentially, obviously, would be, you know, having those effects on people. And just to wrap it all up, what can we do to ensure that our pursuit of happiness isn't toxic?
Well, I think don't pursue happiness. Pursue other things. So do things which are important, meaningful, purposeful. You know, do things because they matter. Often that means engaging with people, you know, doing perhaps you know, engaging with work that we feel is making a difference. We can assess the things we do in life in terms of how much of a contribution they make. And of course, whether or not then those things are making us happier is less important than the fact that we're doing them for other reasons. But of course, what we know is that probably we will feel quite happy doing those things because we'll feel fulfilled, we'll feel connected to purpose, we'll feel connected to other people. But, you know, pursuing it directly in terms of assessing our own emotional states, and of course we are kind of sold that story that, you know, our happiness is up to us. So it's not just us who've, you know, made this silly error in our thinking that that's the way happiness is. We are often told that. There's many, you know, I suppose popular bylines out there which are selling exactly that idea, but they aren't helpful, and I think we need to sometimes pursue happiness far more indirectly than directly.
Of course, yeah. The very term pursuit of happiness, I find, and especially that's just come to mind in our conversation, is that it sounds very self-serving, and that it's like an end goal. Whereas, you know, like you had said, that probably the best way to go about achieving happiness in your day-to-day is to be fulfilled from, you know, helping out others, doing work that you find important and that you're passionate about. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're looking for happiness, it's not necessary. If that's just your end goal, I don't think that would ever be achievable. But of course...
Well, look, it's nice to feel happy, but, you know, if your 100%. Entire purpose in life is to maximise that feeling, it's probably a bit empty.
Yeah, 1,000%. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Professor. That was very, very insightful, and I'm very happy to have had you on the show today.
No problem at all.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.